that you might believe is one of the goals, of course, of our faith. A faith which brings us to salvation, which brings us to everlasting life. That you might believe. But belief really presupposes a testimony. The bringing forth or the attestation of a truth, of something to be believed. And of course, this whole idea of belief is something that also can be quite deceptive. When I was a kid, I think almost all of us, and I think you all have experienced this, enjoyed being able to go to a magic show. I remember my parents taking us down and the Frederick as kids, and I think it was at one of the high schools, Thomas Johnson maybe, high school, and watching a magic show. And, you know, you sit and wonder at these tricks that the magician would form. Apparent miraculous acts happening right on stage. You know, the whole thing of pulling a live rabbit out of a hat, even though you've seen the inside of the hat. Of sawing a person in a box in two, only to be miraculously rejoined together and to get out unharmed. And in seeing these things, especially as a kid, we have a certain belief, a belief in magic. But even as a kid, we know really in our heart of hearts that something else is going on here. That behind it there is illusion. And that illusion really brings us to delusion. Believing that these things can really happen. But as we've come to this first Sunday after Easter, in the West also called Low Sunday, and sometimes as pastors and priests we say it has to do with low attendance Sunday following Pascha and Easter, and this year being no exception. For sure. But on this Low Sunday, also called Thomas Sunday in the Eastern Rite, because we read the same passage of Scripture, we're confronted with a crisis of belief. And the story of Thomas really speaks to our own immaturity of faith, really those times and places in which we ourselves come to those crises a belief. Are we really believing the testimony, the word that's being given? And in this case, from the Gospel of St. John, in the 20th chapter, that very evening of Jesus' resurrection, the disciples we hear had gathered together, and they've gathered behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. They've seen what they've done to their Lord. They know what is capable of happening to them. So they're in fear, even though they've heard the testimony of the women who went to the tomb that morning. And Jesus miraculously appears in their midst, saying, "Peace, peace be unto you." And at this point, there really was a commissioning of his disciples, such that the disciples become his apostles, those who are being sent. He breathes on them, which really portends the gift of the Holy Spirit that they would fully receive at Pentecost. But in breathing on them, the very breath of God that brings life, he also commissions them and gives them authority, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, then they are retained." This was the whole Jewish doctrine of loosing and binding that God had given as a part of the sacerdotal ministry of the priesthood, the ability to forgive or to retain, to hold, that is, to bind. To hold that person in the bondage of their own sins until they are a place of true repentance. So along with this event, this crisis of belief comes the commissioning of the apostles. But Thomas, also called Didymus, the twin, was not there. And we know that it was, even he, in hearing, later showing up and hearing the testimony, the witness of his brother disciples, saying how Jesus had appeared to them. He said, unless I see the hands and the print in the prints of the nails and put my finger into his side, I will not believe. You see, Thomas was caught up in a place that we would specify really as a crisis of belief. He was really speaking of a materialistic understanding of his faith. Unless I see, unless I can touch, unless I experience what you experience, I will not believe. He simply was not. But with that, the Lord again appeared. And throwing back the words at Thomas, he said, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas then with that makes his confession. My Lord, not just my master, but my Lord and my God. Recognizing that indeed Yahweh incarnate, God incarnate, was standing before him. And Jesus said to him in verse 29, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And then St. John goes on to write, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. My brothers and sisters, we are those, among those, who have not seen in the same way that Thomas and the other disciples have seen. And yet, through the grace of God, we have had our hearts illumined to the testimony. To the testimony that Christ is risen. And you know, St. John here indicates that there were many other signs which weren't recorded. Some of those are recorded within various sacred traditions of the Holy Orthodox Church, one of which fills in the blanks for St. Matthew's recording at the crucifixion of Jesus when the great earthquake came, ripping the veil of the temple, and it said that many tombs were opened up as a result. And one of the things that the church, at least in some parts of the church, teach was that there were a total of 120 graves that were opened up as a result of that earthquake. And that at the resurrection of Jesus, those dead arose and walked and returned to their families. There were at least 500 people who witnessed these miraculous things. One of those persons, a certain sector of the church teaches, that was raised from the dead, was Saint Simeon, the God receiver. Saint Simeon, you remember who his prayer that we say, his canticle that we say at our Vespers, who had been waiting, who had been told by the Holy Spirit he would not die until he saw the Christ. And in receiving Jesus, Saint Simeon was the one who circumcised him. Saint Simeon was released from hell. He was able to describe his experience and Jesus breaking down the doors and the gates of hell and delivering him along with St. John the Baptist and all the old covenant faithful who were eventually then taken into heaven. But can you imagine Saint Simeon, along with these others, at the resurrection of Jesus, walking the earth again, returning to their families, talking about how Christ had conquered sin and death. Many signs, many wonders. And yet we may say we don't see those today. But I think that we should reevaluate this in terms of what Christ has given, in terms of what Christ has done. From the first lesson today, the epistle reading, we talk of St. John talks about the certainty of God's witness. You see, the testimony that's been given is that believing in Jesus and believing in his conquest over sin and death, we have life eternal. But in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." We know that Jesus came, the water and the blood flowed from his side. He came by water and the Spirit. He said, "Therefore, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." The most explicit affirmation of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity in all of Scripture, which is undeniable. And he says, "And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one." We do not come to faith. We do not come to belief apart from the witness of the Spirit, which illumines our hearts, which opens our eyes to the wonders of what God has done in Jesus Christ. But we also come by way of the water and the Spirit. Through the waters of baptism, in which we are joined to death, Jesus' death, burial, and glorious resurrection, so that we might commune with him in the blood. Through Christ's immaculate body and his precious shed blood, these are the witnesses on earth that St. John is referring to. We have these witnesses. And yet, God's witness, he goes on to say, is even greater. And he says, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given him. And this is the testimony." He says it very explicitly. You want to know what to believe? This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. If we are not in Christ, if we are not in Christ and being led to the truth of the gospel by the Holy Spirit, the illumining gift of the Holy Spirit, if we are not in Christ by being joined to him in baptism, if we are not in Christ and being joined to him in Eucharistic community of his body and blood, then we have no hope of eternal life. But it begins with our response, a belief. If you were here for Matins, you heard John read from the account of the road to Emmaus, the two disciples who were talking and about the things that had happened following Jesus' death and resurrection. And we know that in this encounter, Jesus first opens to them the words of the prophets. And then it was in the breaking of bread by which they recognized the risen Lord. It is Jesus himself who has given us the pattern for worship, the pattern for belief. The very twofold nature of the divine liturgy is right there in that story. Jesus being made manifest first in the Word, the breaking open of the Word. And then Jesus being received in the breaking of bread, of his body and his blood. This is where belief takes us into a life in Christ, a life by which sin and death has been conquered, a life that is everlasting. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice in the glorious implications of this as we continue to be his faithful disciples in proclaiming the truth that Christ is risen, and by it we may have life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.